ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Follow Chicago's home for sports on Twitter at ESPN 1000.
Xander and Hanley back to it at ESPN 1000 talking baseball. Brian, did you see, was it Rosenthal that tweeted this out? I can't remember who to attribute it to, but it was basically Han representing the White Sox, the Guardians, and the Twins are all looking for starting pitching because they all feel like they're a starting pitcher away from winning the division. Yeah, so that is being reported, and it makes a lot of sense. You know, we look at what happened to Lance Lynn yesterday. One guy who has who was dominant last year, previous start to yesterday, solid start. We didn't support him with runs. Last night, 5 runs he gave up, and how many was it? 4 home runs? Three home runs.
A weird
5
line.
Runs totally, but 3 home runs.
Yeah,
a team that's been hitting a lot of home runs lately, by the way, it's not just on Lynn.
Yeah, but he had 8 strikeouts, no walks, and the 3 home runs. And, of course, the Sox being the Sox.
Right.
Jose Abreu drops the ball at first base to open up the inning, and next thing you know, Piscotty's got a 3-run home run. Now, it might have been a 2-run home run, but the fact is you can't – anytime they make an error, and unfortunately they seem to do
– And that's uncharacteristic for him.
It is, but he's had his moments. Like
no, he has. Everybody has. Nobody is without that distinction this year.
It's like they pay for every error they make. Mm-hmm. Right? I mean, whether the inning is extended or their inning ends because of someone wandering off a bag.
Now, it is possible to make a bad decision and to have players actually cover for you and it doesn't impact.
Right.
But we don't see that on the south side too much.
That is a weird Lance Lynn line because you're not walking people and he's got the 8 Ks and yet 3 home runs. And he said, you know, obviously he got to keep the ball in the ballpark. So,
that was a real tough outing for Lance. And then the bullpen came in, it just was one of those frustrating losses where you just feel like, and this has been the most of the time for me, my personal experience of watching them, it's been more often than not that there's something that happens in the game where I just feel like we didn't lose because we got beat by a good team. There's something in the game that indicates we lost because of us.
Well, here's the thing.
And last night was another one of those nights.
You can always use more pitching, right? You never have enough pitching. I would argue now Giolito has got a 5+ ERA of late because he always has an inning, and he had it in the first inning, his last out. But he still kept him in the game. You can use another starter, but I'd put that third or fourth on the list of needs right now. Tony, he said this yesterday, I think. He said, I'm from the school of you can lose a game, but you can't lose a pitcher. And that, explaining away why guys aren't available again, right? And I don't know how many more games you can follow that theory or that.
Some would argue that it's too late to follow that theory now.
Right. I mean, you don't have that luxury, right? So, and he said, well, that's why at home they've given away games because guys have not been available. Okay, at some point, you can't lose those games, okay? You don't have to lean on somebody to go out there and extend himself and, pitch when maybe he does need a day. But you need all hands on deck is what I'm basically saying right now. So the whole idea that I know you're only 3 games back of the Twins and the Twins aren't all that and they have about 3 or 4 things they could.
How are we only 3 games back with the way we've been playing?
Well, that's because that's what you've been doing for the last 3 months. And the Twins probably in Minnesota, it's probably the Twin fans are like, shame on this team. They should be up by 6 or 7 games right now, right?
Yeah.
But they have things that they could do as well.
Absolutely. The Guardians, as I told you, they're more of a concern for me right now than the Twins are because I just think that they're more of a pain, just an annoying gnat right now to the White Sox than the Twins are. But let's face it, the White Sox cannot be picky or choosy. They have to win every game, including games like against the A's, which they're bottom feeders.
Well, again, you have 19 games, a stretcher of get fat because these are teams that you should get fat off of.
Yeah. Well, and so should far, and should and will or could are two different things this year, unfortunately. By the way, Jay Kuda, who is a great follow on Twitter, he tweeted this out, and I don't know if you saw this, but in the last 8 weeks, who leads the White Sox in home runs? Other than Luis Robert, who has six, who's the next person? Any guesses?
Oh, no.
I'll tell you what. I'm going to play this audio, and it's not Tony La Russa. It's the other person you hear.
You don't allow a player to be emotional. I mean, you just got a bunch of robots out here playing. That's not entertaining. You know, when I'm at bat, you know, I thought the pitches were questionable. He's fired up. You know, he's trying to do – that's the way he plays. That's all the way that you're supposed to play. So, I know I think I saw the umpire moving forward quite a bit, which I know they're taught not to do that. I didn't see any contact. Part of their training is you got to let players be emotional as long as they don't get disrespectful or get vulgar. You know, I don't want to blame the umpire. The umpires aren't robots either, you know. They can get emotional, they can get upset, but they're supposed to be the cooler head. Because if you try to take the emotion out of the game, it's not entertaining.
No disrespect to any umpires that are out there. We know they're not trying to, you know, sway the game one way or another. But when you have a couple pitches like that that might have gone, you know, against him tonight, you know, sometimes you got to speak up. It might look like the bad guy, but you know, it wasn't just him. I think there were a couple tonight that we had. I think Pito had a couple. It's just voicing frustration for the whole team. And you know, Tony went back out and backed him up. But like I said, we got to come back tomorrow. All that's wiped away. Nothing affects tomorrow. It's a whole other day.
That right there is Josh Harrison. That is the guy who is second to Luis Roberts in home runs. That's not supposed to happen. But that is reality in the last 8 weeks. Now, of course, Josh was talking about what happened at home plate with TA. Tony was talking about that as well. Tony backing up, you know, Tim Anderson, I'm not going to be that easy on Tim for what happened. I know the umpires, okay, so they're trained not to get into their faces and all that, but Tim is a repeat offender, and if he is our leader, he should not be acting that way. And I think that was really unfortunate, and it just goes to show you that Tim is not in the pocket this year. Not at all.
You know, umpire Nick Marley, you know, I don't know how much he advanced towards Tim Anderson. Tim was pretty much in his grill. Tony's saying he's fired up and that's how he plays. That's great. But at some point, you have to control and contain.
You have to be
smart.
You can be fired up and smart. And thanks to NBC Sports Chicago for that audio. Yeah, you have to be smart. Those two things don't go hand in hand. I mean, they do. You can be smart yet fired up. And apparently, Tim, who gets fired up, lets the emotions of the moment take over. Arguably, yes, it was a terrible strike zone, and we've seen it all over Major League Baseball, and that, for a lot of people, you know, they'd rather see robot umps. And, you know, we're probably going in that direction. But the point being is Tim shouldn't have been arguing that much anyhow. He should have said something, walked back to the clubhouse, maybe said something to Tony, let Tony go out there and get thrown out.
Yeah. Well, this whole team has had its moments. And again, there's Tony, God bless him, backing up his player and his leader on the team.
As you said, explaining it away.
But the fact of the matter is, this team doesn't have that margin of error. They can't afford to have him sit out, what, two games?
Right. It definitely will be one, maybe two. Yeah. And that was my point. It was a selfish move on his part to do that, not thinking about the end game of what this could result in.
Yeah, it's you need your stars to be your stars, and you need Rick Hahn to be aggressive by Tuesday, and you need another bat. I mean, that's how I voted on the Twitter poll. I know, you know, people want Tony to be gone a month ago. I don't believe that's going to happen between now and the end of the season. And you know, if you're venting that they need a new manager, and a lot of people are selecting that answer from the Twitter poll question.
It's not realistic, but I get why they're saying that.
Yeah, I mean, Tony said they have enough pitching and they have enough bullpen. Now, Ronaldo Lopez has got a lower back strain, and he's on the 15-day IL.
He's been solid for us. That's a big loss. Bummer's not coming back anytime soon.
Yeah, I just, you know, Kelly has got bicep issues, but
he should be able to pitch today. Here's the thing, though. If they go after starting pitching, as we've heard, I told you there was that tweet that was sources indicate that the Guardians and the Twins and the Sox are going after starting pitching. If we get a solid starter, that could slide somebody like a Kopech into long relief. And that may not be a bad move.
Wasn't it Tony who just said this week that, you know, that's not happening? Because if you're Michael Kopech, I know you'll say you're doing what's best for the team. But, I mean, he's been waiting for this to get in that rotation.
Well, I understand. But, I mean, you know, at this point, everybody's got to show up and do what they're asked to do.
But I flash back to Craig Kimbrell coming over from the Cubs, and they were going to make it work with two closers and no egos involved, and don't worry, we got this. And how'd that work out? They all said the right thing.
Well, okay. How about Cueto going into middle relief? Now I don't want to see that. I don't want to see that. But what I'm saying is, if they do get another starting pitcher, something has to slide over. Sure. And I don't know what that is, but right now Cueto and Cease are the aces of the staff.
Yeah, and I would argue Cueto would be more likely, given where he's at in his career and that where he's at in terms of contract and big picture, where he is with the organization, right?
Yeah.
I don't know that you want to mess with Michael Kopech.
Yeah, maybe not. I'm just throwing stuff against the wall because that's what Rick Hahn should be doing, is throwing everything against the wall to try to figure something out.
How about David Peralta? Does he do anything for you? 34-year-old David Peralta coming in, and here's a guy who's not having great numbers this year, but lifetime, he's a .296 hitter against righties, and he's got an .844 OPS. He's got 12 home runs this year. He's got experience.
Is that another Cesar Hernandez for us?
You could do worse, right? I don't know how big Rick Hahn's going to go, but he's got to go.
I don't think he's going to make any earth-shattering trades, not at the trade deadline.
Well, then that's the type of guy that you would start looking at, right?
Yeah.
34-year-old David Peralta, right? And say, okay, you know, see how that looks for the rest of the year.
312-332-3776. It will be interesting to see what he does. He needs to do something. I say left-handed bat. I think I heard somebody mention that he may be looking for a second base. And if that's the case, and Josh Harrison is a utility person that can play second, third, even outfield, that reduces Leury Garcia's role, and that would be okay with me. Before we hit break, let's go to Owen in Willowbrook. Hey, Owen, you're on with Xander and Hanley.
Hey, guys. This is the beat-up Mankata hour. I think I would try to get J.D. Martinez and offer Mankata back to the team that traded Mankata.
So Mankata, his production lately, his solid defensive play, you still are hating on him?
That was 0-for-5. They said he turned the corner in the first series. He went 2-for-15 with a homer, a double, and a walk. Last night, what was he, 0-for-5? He's not turned the corner.
Yeah, he's been putting the bat on the ball. That's for sure.
Well, yeah, but it's about production. This guy.
Yeah, no, I get that. I get that. But he's not swinging through things like he was before. It's gotten a little better.
Yeah, you know what? A little better doesn't mean much in a 5-year.
Mankata for J.D. Martinez. How old is J.D.?
I don't think it matters. You just get rid of that contract.
Well, we'd have to get more than that, is my point. Thanks, Owen.
I'm not sure the Red Sox have much interest in that contract. They would
probably not, but the Red Sox are going to be sellers.
Sure.
I think. That's it. Boy, I'll tell you, I'd rather be the White Sox right now than the Red Sox. They're really a mess there. How many games back are they in that tough division? There's just no way. They're far back. 312-332-3776. Let's hit break. We'll come back, take your phone calls about the White Sox. We've got some Cubs audio. We'll talk about what the Northsiders might do before the trade deadline here on ESPN 1000.
Follow Chicago's Home for Sports on Facebook at ESPN Chicago. This is ESPN 1000.
ESPN 1000, the ESPN Chicago app. Great way to listen, or 100.3 HD2. All right, Brian Hanley, bad news. You did not win $1.28 billion unless you bought your ticket in Des Plaines at the Speedway on TUI. Was that you?
No, I didn't check my numbers yet, but thanks for letting the air out of my balloon.
Sorry.
I had my two tickets.
Sorry.
My $4 investment.
It was somebody bought it in Des Plaines at a Speedway on Tui.
You know where the McCaskies live?
No.
Virginia lives in Des Plaines. Do they need the money?
I arguably, they may.
Well, put the dome on Soldier Field. It's going to be about $2 billion, right? So they... Someone is a billionaire in Des Plaines. Wow.
Yes. Or somewhere near there. Or they were just passing through Des Plaines.
Passing through.
I wanted to win and bring Juan Soto here myself.
Good Would Lord. You have done that?
Yeah, for Chicago.
No, he'd be in Arlington. You know that. Yeah, you know, Rangers fan.
Right. Nice try.
Yeah.
He's smiling.
Right, you got
Come
me.
On. There's All no
right.
way.
Yeah.
There's no way.
Faux White Sox fan. That's amazing. Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Well,
There's it's not you or me. One. I haven't been in Des Plaines in a while. So,
are you like me? You know, the only time I play that stuff is when it gets like I started playing.
Well, allegedly, but I actually forgot to do it yesterday, and I had a chance to do it, and I totally forgot, which gives you the the idea of what a priority it is to me, because I do see the impossible odds. Sometimes I get sucked into it.
Yeah.
Why I don't play it on any other day when the odds may be a little bit better, never
I mean,
good.
Like $1 million wouldn't change your life right now. I mean,
of course,
really,
but that's just so ridiculous that it's just not even on my radar. I
know. It's like, well, you know, you can't buy a Learjet with $1 million, but all of us get
I don't need a Learjet, Brian. Do you?
No, but that's the mindset. It's like, what would I do with $1 billion? Well, what would I do with $1 million? I mean, that. If you want to, if someone, you know, showed up, Ed McMahon, if he was still with us, came out of that big van with.
Well, I was going to say that would be a trick if Ed McMahon showed up at this point.
But I'm saying it's the only time we play these things is you buy, you know, spend $2 or $4 for a $1.2 billion possible payday. But any other
day. It's when the media jumps on and says the pot is so big, everybody starts going nuts.
Right. But I mean, I guess, you know, every day you could possibly win $1 million. So if you're buying a ticket every day, that's stupid because the odds are still you get struck by lightning 3 times or Tony gets fired before that happens.
But can you imagine there have been people who have won the lottery multiple times?
Yeah, I know that.
Explain
that. Yeah. And you know, you wonder how much they invested till they won, not once but twice. And then you see these documentaries and stuff about how their lives have gone off
just
the rails.
Fall apart. But I did see somebody on the Today Show, because again, they were, you know, going crazy about Mega Millions. There was this lady that won some kind of online thing where she won $150,000. And she said everything's been great. The first thing she did was get like $5,000 together and go buy a bunch of grocery gift cards and hand them out.
See, that's nice. And
that's you need to do.
Yeah.
If you win something like that, right away, you got to set karma in your favor. You got to go and do something like that right away.
You're not like the guy. Did you hear about the guy down south who drove, you know, bought his big Cadillac and a big cowboy hat? He won, millions of dollars, one of the mega jackpots. And everyone knew he drove around with a suitcase full of money. And, you know, he was getting robbed all the time. And I think he was going to gentlemen's clubs, too, which means he was getting robbed all the time. But I mean that
in a couple different ways.
Yeah, right. So I mean, it's amazing how people
that way's
react.
More fun to get robbed.
Yes,
there's
exactly.
there's at a strip club or a gun to your head.
There's
one that's a little more fun.
Yeah, he was trying to put some young ladies through college. He was just trying. It was altruistic.
Well, that's charity work.
Yeah.
312-332-3776. Jake on the road wants to talk about the White Sox. Hey, Jake.
Hey, what's going on, guys? I appreciate you taking the call.
Yeah.
So I guess my thoughts on the White Sox's trade deadline is kind of how aggressive Han wants to be. And what I was thinking, and I'm hoping they kind of spin the tires on, is Rodon and Peterson package. And then maybe like a Dave Robertson for a cheap utility prospect. That's kind of what I'm hoping.
Yeah, I like the idea. What does a Rodon Peterson package cost?
See, that's what I was thinking. I was looking at, like, maybe Jose Rodriguez, Yolbert Sanchez. I was kind of wanting your guys' thoughts on what that would cost in your guys' opinions.
Okay.
So Rodon would be a rental player because he's going to opt out after this year, and you didn't want to pay him the first time. I like that idea. It actually crossed my mind when I was thinking
that would take care of a couple of holes right away.
And,
away.
And then do you say, guess what? We have a second chance to sign in long term. And, you know,
They love Chicago. His wife said on Twitter, love Chicago, love Chicago, love Chicago.
He said to the Cubs media the last day or so that, you know, he loves the city. They grew up together here, he and his wife.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, he was talking about possibly joining the Cubs at some point.
Right.
But it doesn't seem like he'd have hard feelings against the White Sox. But he said, you know, people thought I was a one-off, one-hit wonder last year because of all the injuries and everything. He says, I get it. But you could do a hell of a lot worse than having him for the duration of the season. Then the question is, do you finally sign him to the long-term deal that you didn't want to?
Well, and this may be the shot that Han realizes that he should have taken the first time. And remember, he was on the bubble and they brought him back. So yep. I can't imagine there would be hard feelings.
No.
At this point on the south side. So, and have Jock Peterson, a guy who, you know, maybe we should have signed. You know, every time his name would come up, you know, a couple of years ago, I would say, nah, I don't know about him, because I always feel like he's just one at-bat away from just starting to decline. And every time he helps whatever team he's on.
Did he have a dream like he did where he called Jed Hoyer and said he dreamt that he was going to be on the Cubs?
He didn't have the
White Sox.
Not that he's admitting to. No, but that would be interesting.
Speaking of Jock Peterson, did you see who gave him the double bird?
Yes. Yes.
When was the last time you gave anybody the bird, let alone the double bird?
Oh, you know, the birds fly. Birds fly. A double bird is really serious. Like, I really, really mean it. And David Ross is smart enough to know that he would become a meme in short fashion. And it's going to be something that's going to follow him around forever. And he ended up saying, hey, you know, I shouldn't have done that. I should have known better.
Well, let's listen to David Ross, because he was doing it. He likes Jock Peterson. They're friends, obviously.
Right, they
have history together here. And so he was standing in the dugout, and he gave him, you know, with this kind of blasé look on his face, and he's got the double birds up. And, of course, it was caught on camera. And as you said, there are GIFs and memes and everything else. And all you little leaguers out there, David Ross wants you to just take heed and don't do what he did.
A friend of mine on the other side and just got caught on camera. I should definitely know better. I don't want any kids out there giving the birds to anybody. It's not the way I want to represent this organization or myself or my family. So, poor taste. Sorry, I got caught on TV.
Was it at least well received?
It definitely got the person's attention, yes.
Whose attention were you trying to get?
Let's just leave it. We'll keep it short.
Meme-tastic is what that is now. I mean, people are using it on the south side, saying this is the way I felt watching the game tonight. And that.
I mean, the same fantasy league too. You would give him the double birds for that.
Yeah. Is Tony ever going to give the single bird, let alone the double bird, and mean it? Man, that was. You know, but anything you do in the dugout, it's going to be on someone's camera, right? I mean, you just know that.
So. Right. And I mean, David Ross is a bit of a smartass, and that's something I would totally do. But I would hope that I would remember that people are watching, and I'll see this for years to come.
That's kind of funny, though.
But Jock Peterson and Carlos Rodon on the south side, taking one trade, taking care of some things. I mean, what assets go for that with Rodon being his contract situation there? And also Jock Peterson, who is he's not signed past this year, is he?
I don't believe so.
Okay, so there are a couple of rentals. I mean, Jock more so than Carlos. So with that said, it wouldn't cost much I like it. I like it. I like that idea.
Well, and you know, the Giants, if they didn't go on that 7-game losing streak until the other day, they snapped it. You know, they might have been buyers come Tuesday.
Yep.
So when they're sitting there looking at how good the Dodgers are, and they were a great story at the start of the season, they were, you know, holding their own in that
mm-hmm.
division.
Mm-hmm.
So now, you know, how realistic are they going to be and say, well, it's not our year and time to get what we can get? Here.
From anything that I've seen, it definitely is a selling situation in San Francisco.
Yeah, and Rodon's definitely going to opt out of that contract. So no matter what they do this year, if they kept him because they want to make a run at this thing, they're going to have to pony up much more money and longer term to keep him around.
All right, Rick, get on that. Kyle's in Bourbon A. He wants to jump in on ESPN 1000. Hey, Kyle.
Good morning, everyone. How are we doing?
Good. Greetings and salutations.
Thank you. I'm actually doing well. It's my 11th wedding anniversary, so I figured I would spend part of that with you guys.
All right. Well, well thank you, okay. I guess.
Hope there's a 12th then, yeah. Don't like the odds, so, but okay.
Well, hey, a couple quick things. I don't hear near enough people talking about bringing Ian Happ from the Chicago Cubs down to the South.
Oh, you haven't heard Brian talk about it. He hasn't brought it up yet today.
I was just about to get to him again because I've been pounding that drum for a month or so.
Yeah,
right?
You have been.
Well, because they're talking about Jock Peterson being a rental, but I think if you get like someone like Ian Happ, he could solve some problems moving forward as well and not just be a rental and maybe try to – and you talked about Peterson and Rodon, maybe Stroman and Happ could be something they could think about. But
and
also,
Robertson, yeah.
And Robertson, yeah, absolutely. But also, this may sound a little radical, but hear me out. I think one of the biggest issues is Tony La Russa, and everyone's talked at length about that. But, like, the Cubs were in a similar situation with young players trying to be relevant a couple of years ago, and Joe Maddon is available. Now, I don't know the likelihood of La Russa getting fired, and you know how his relationship with Reinsdorf, I have a tough time seeing it, but, like, I don't think it's crazy to consider, let's get Joe Maddon on the South side and do the same thing and bring these guys to the promised land. I don't think it's crazy, or do you think I'm crazy?
Well, mid-season thing like that, I don't know.
You can sweat Joe Maddon's pitching moves in the playoffs in the World Series like we did. And then you have...
Yeah, but then he'll have, you know, some Cubs pitchers, so it'll just be like, if they do happen and throw him and he'll have some Cubs pitchers, it'll just be like old times.
Thanks, Kyle. Appreciate it. Happy anniversary there, buddy. Yeah. You know, a lot to think about. La Russa losing his job, that's pie in the sky. La Russa losing his job and then hiring Joe Maddon in season, that's really pie in the sky.
Yeah, we've been over this thing. We could have won the Mega Millions before Tony's going to get fired from Jerry.
We could have won the Mega Millions with the wrong numbers before Tony gets fired.
But yeah, you're not excited. You're not exactly over your heels about Ian Happ coming to the South Side. But you could do worse, and we can go over.
You know, look, at this point, and we will go over that. At this point, I'm open to anything, including trading Tim Anderson.
Oh boy,
I'm at that point now. Is he a fit on the South Side? Can we deal with this anymore? What can you get?
We've got some
young kids in developing right now.
Tony might get fired before TA's traded.
Hey, I'm just saying. I'm just saying. I'm at that point as a fan. I am at that point. I'm not saying it should happen, but everything should be on the table, and I'm at that point, especially after what happened last night. He was supposed to be our leader. He's offended me.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And, hey, look.
You got to be smarter than that.
I saw the Angels. Everyone's available, even Shohei. Think about what that would look like.
So, okay. All right.
Here's your starting pitcher, and he can hit the home runs, too.
Yeah, all right.
Go get him.
Okay. Tim Anderson. Wearing the halo. 312-332-3777. I know I'm riling some people up pretty good right now. 312-332-3776. We'll hit break, come back. We'll talk about Mr. Contreras on the north side. That hug with Ian Happ, that made me sad, and I'm not even a Cub fan. I felt that emotion in the clubhouse. That's all they've ever known. Contreras, such a big part of the Cubs for so many years. I still would like him on the south side, but that's unlikely. We'll hear some audio from that, and we'll get your feeling on some possible trades for the deadline there, Brian. It's ESPN 1000. We'll be right back.
Follow Chicago's home for sports on Instagram at ESPN_Chicago. This is ESPN 1000.
I would like to say that I love you all. Thanks for everything. Thanks for everything you guys did for me and my family. I got a lot of good relationship with some friends from Chicago, and I'm pretty sure I'm going to love him forever. So thank you for everything, and I wish... I could play for you guys, but this is a business. I understand that. I love you all.
That's real raw emotion. And that's Wilson Contreras, obviously. Saying goodbye to Wrigley Field, ESPN 1000. Certainly he's going to be traded by the deadline, Brian. Arguably, couldn't they keep him? Couldn't they treat him like a Yadi Molina?
Well, absolutely.
But they're not going to.
They're not going to. And he took all his Cubs stuff off of his Instagram.
Yeah, I saw that yesterday. It's like,
and then
ooh.
Put some back up after. But he's very well aware that the ship has sailed. He's going to be traded. He's the best catcher out there, maybe the best offensive bat available of any position.
Yeah.
And here's a guy who's been in the organization since, what, 2009? I mean, he was like a 16, 17-year-old
kid. He was like a little kid, yeah.
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 So it's the only organization he's known. And we talked about it. You've really seen him blossom this year as a Cubs fan. I certainly have, because
he was in the shadow of
absolutely
Chris Bryant and Javi Rizzo. Baez and Rizzo, and he learned from their mistakes in the way they were very public about what was happening. And I would say that he's probably, with the exception of Rizzo, leaving Wrigley Field with more goodwill than Javi or Chris Bryant.
Yeah, and you know, for Chris, it was more about lack of production, but injury also it played into that. But he was
a bit of a diva.
I don't know. I still like the Rookie of the Year and the MVP and the World
but there
Series.
But all I'm saying is there was a bit of drama that didn't need to be attached to him that has been.
Right. Well, yeah. And that was started when they wouldn't bring him up when he was, he should have been up, but they're going to control him for the extra year. And so it didn't get off on the best of foots. But Wilson Contreras, as you said, said, I'm not talking about it because I remember how he didn't name names, but we just named three of them.
We know exactly who he was talking about.
Yeah, the negative effect it had in the clubhouse when pretty much every day for the weeks leading up to it, people were asking questions and they were there to answer the questions about it instead of saying it'll work itself out. You know, it's a business. I'll get traded or I'm not going to get traded.
I'm focused on the season, blah, blah, blah.
But that moment, especially his first at bat on the final, his final home game, you know, Wrigley Field, people laugh at Cub fans because they'll stand and cheer anybody for anything. But that one was, you knew it was coming and it still moved you, right? I mean, he took a deep breath and he was hitting the bat on the back of his shoulder, like trying to collect himself because, you know, it hit him. And even watching on television, that he still loved this game because of that. Even with the crazy salaries and numbers, you still appreciate those moments that baseball gives you. When there truly is love between the fans in the stands and the player on the field.
You know, and I'm trying to think, do we have that type of relationship on the South Side with a player? Maybe Jose Abreu.
Right.
Maybe.
And the problem with that is the language barrier comes into play because everyone in the clubhouse knows his personality, but every
time We really don't. We know he's quiet and he's more of a do as I do type of leader.
Right.
But we need a vocal leader. And that's where I think Tim Anderson, who was supposed to be that, has failed. But Wilson Contreras means a lot to the North Side, means a lot to the city. I, from the South Side, really appreciate who that guy is, what he's brought to the city of Chicago for baseball fans. And I'm sad that he's going to go. And again, I've said it a million times, I would love to see him on the South Side. We've got two catchers we can trade for him.
We don't
and some
him.
Other prospects.
The great Mike North tweeted out a video this a few days ago and you know really summarized it. You don't find one of the most important positions and a guy who's got the bat and he's turned into a great game caller and has really become
absolutely
a good
right.
And you don't let those guys go at age 30. I mean, and Mike is spot on and he's just saying, you know what? You build around a guy like that, and you should. And why that's not happening?
Why is that eluding Jed and the Ricketts?
I just
that seems so obvious.
Yep, it's more than a head scratcher, and it's disappointing. Now you better hit a home run on that what you get back. And I know he's a rental, but you better whatever prospect it better be. You know the prospect they got for the Chris Bryant trade. Pete Crow Armstrong.
Yeah.
I mean, that looks like a terrific deal right now, given what Chris is not doing in Colorado.
Well, we'll see what Jed's able to do, but yeah, I agree with you. It should be a haul. It should be an absolute haul. Here's some more audio on Contreras. This is actually a post-game interview.
He's tough. Just knowing everything that is happening around, and I knew it would get to me at some point. And I wish this day never came, but it's about business. I understand that. I respect that. And I love my team. I love my teammates most. And I don't want to get like too attached with them, because you never know what's going to happen next week or this week even in San Francisco. But it's been a tough couple of days for me.
Yeah, it's just a matter of time. When that time will be, I don't know. We have that sounder ready to fire at any point, because it's Tuesday at 5 p.m. is the deadline. And I would imagine we'd see more activity this weekend.
You want Ian Happ? You want me to try to refresh my sales pitch on Ian Happ to you?
Yeah, go ahead. What okay. you got?
Did you see, it was probably too late, but, you know, because of the West Coast, but he not only is a switch hitter who's putting up some pretty good numbers this year in his first All-Star appearance, and he's played everywhere. Now, this year, I think all but one start of his has been out in left field, but he's played second. He's played all the outfield positions. That throw he made, so he won, Fields hit on one hop, and here comes Wilmer Flores hauling for home, and Happ throws a perfect throw, and Wilson Contreras, our guy, puts the tag on Flores.
Because he can catch the ball and apply a tag.
Yeah, well, Ian Happ, that was his eighth outfield assist, which is tied for the league
best. Those are one of my favorite plays in baseball. I love that.
Yeah, so, I mean, his defense has gotten better, too. Statistically, he's still solidly average when you look at Baseball Reference. I think he's 0.1, so he's basically the definition of an average defensive player. But he's capable of making those throws. He's made a lot of them this year.
Hey, if we can take Leury out of the outfield and, any potential play for him out in the outfield, if we have to use him, he's a better infielder than an outfielder.
Much more of a DH, Aloy.
Yeah, and Aloy becomes a DH. I like that. I like that direction. What else you got?
Well, can you help me with Luis Robert? What's going on? I mean,
I can't. I don't. Who can help? I wish I had the phone number to his doctor.
Yeah,
dizziness. Well, I mean, now he has a cold, which, you know, times have changed, right? Years
right
ago, there's no way you would ever mention a cold. You go on the field, you would play.
Yeah.
Right. And do you have to disclose if it's COVID?
And now maybe not in the minors. I don't know. But first of all, I mean, Tony said Tony said it's going to be a while, because one for five in the game he did play. I mean, it's the rehab assignment didn't get off to a roaring start. And
what's jarring to me is that it was a rehab assignment, but we don't know what he's rehabbing from.
Right. Exactly. We don't have a diagnosis that anyone's put to words. Right.
Yesterday, why Vaughn didn't play.
Yeah. Well.
There's just sometimes it just doesn't seem there's enough full disclosure for a team that is not performing to their potential. I want to know everything.
Yeah, well, maybe Connor McKnight can help us out on What's X Weekly, because it's curious. I mean, Fridays maybe the next time we see Luis Robert possible. I don't know. I guess they have to see many more games down in Charlotte before this happens. So,
yeah, I thought maybe it would be beginning of this week, but that may have been pushed back. 312-332-3776. We've got a couple of Twitter polls to wrap up when we get back. Peggy and Dion in at 11 to 1. They've got Bears rookie wide receiver Velus Jones Jr. joining them at noon here on ESPN 1000.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Follow Chicago's home for sports on Twitter at ESPN 1000.
Mark Zander, Brian Hanley until 11. Peggy and Dion follow. They're on till 1. Then we've got a little later on, we've got White Sox Weekly here on ESPN 1000. All right, so Brian, we've got a couple of Twitter polls we need to wrap up here. The first one, talking about your Cubs on the north side, will Cubs starting pitcher Marcus Stroman be traded by Tuesday? And Jake Cantu is producing today, so we always go to Jake to wrap up the polls. Jake, how does this one look for Cubs fans?
So it's a close one, but 57% say no, and then 43% say yes.
Isn't that crazy?
Is that a surprise to you, Brian?
Well, I mean, at the beginning of the year, I wouldn't have even considered it, rebuild or no. But, I mean, he's got a 0.89 ERA in his four starts since coming back off the IL. So someone's going to call and offers something substantial, and they know what the contract is, whether he opts out after next year or not, it's, and, you know, is always a consideration, but they know what the money's going to be if he inherit that contract and he doesn't opt out. So I voted that he will be traded. And a month ago when Jesse suggested that, it stopped me cold, but anything's possible now, I think.
I think at this point they have to, obviously they're going to answer all phone calls and entertain all offers, because yep. if they do it right, they have a tremendous potential to better this club really, really quick, because they have assets. And arguably, they shouldn't be getting rid of Wilson Contreras. They should build around him. But if they are going to get rid of him, they better get some big haul back.
No doubt. No doubt at all.
312-332-3776 if you want to jump in on that. On the south side, we've got this Twitter poll, and we already know which way this is going, Brian. But we're going to officially wrap it up. What do the Sox need most at the trade deadline? Lefty power bat, bullpen help, or new manager? Jake Cantu, what's that look like?
You knew what you're doing with this one, Brian. New manager at 75%.
I mean, I just did it just in the meat hub of me, but I was more interested in the actual on the field. But I guess Tony's on the field, so we know why that's... We know the frustration vote came out in large numbers on this one.
Well, right? Look, and there are good reasons for it, okay? He's made some questionable decisions. Unfortunately, the decisions that he has made to actually win the game, we're probably not paying too close attention to those, unfortunately. So what the tally is for and against on that, I don't know. Is he batting 500? I'm not totally sure. It seems like he's making some questionable decisions that are costing games, and that is an issue. The explaining the way of things, when we as fans are seeing something so egregious, something such a problem, and he seems to just explain it away like he's going out of his way to be supportive of players, maybe being soft on them, the way he rests everybody. These are considerations that fans are seeing, thinking this can't happen anymore.
And now, Sox fans don't abide that. And Paul Konerko talked to Paul Sullivan about this, and Sully wrote a column in the Tribune the other day. And Paul Konerko, of all people, said, when the fans got on me, he said, I figured I deserved it. And he said, Sox fans, they want, you know, it's a prove it type fan base. He said, I got that. And he said, I got frustrated when we'd start slow and people didn't come to the ballpark. But I knew if we were winning in August, they'd be filling the place. Mm-hmm. It was so matter of fact about, you know, to your point about Tony going soft on these guys and explaining away stupidity and, you know, oh, Tim, he's just fired up and that's who Tim is, instead of saying, you know, we can't have that. We can't lose him for a couple of games.
Or what you said is, Tim, he's fired up and that's good. He's got to be smarter.
Yeah.
Why not say that?
Right. But Paul Konerko said, I mean, I get the Sox fans, and even when they got on Paul Konerko, he said, I had no issues with it because I figured I deserved it. I knew when I wasn't playing my best. And he said, when I was playing my best, they were there for you, and they were on their feet. And so, you know, moving forward, I'd like to see a lot more Tony saying, okay.
That's the right attitude from Paulie. I mean, yeah. That really is, right? I mean, you are an entertainer. You play this game for a living. You make a lot of money. I know you've been working all your life towards this. I know it's not easy, but you are there to perform and entertain. And Sox fans will show you if they're unhappy.
Right. And you can't fool the Sox fans. And that's why Tony, you know, people get tired like you are. They're tired of...
See, that's the thing, right.
We're just aggressive, right. We don't want to take that away from the players, and we'll coach them up. Well, it's going to be August 1st here.
When he backs them up so hard, it's almost insulting because we know what we see.
Yep.
And it's not right. And if that's his attitude with the press, what's his attitude in the clubhouse?
Right. I mean, is he massaging shoulders? I mean, we heard him say, well, they don't come into my office. I walk out to center field because I don't want to.
And right. I remember I drew attention to that clip that it was from Lane Casper talking to him. And it's like, what? Isn't this adult rules here? Can't we call people into the office without hurting their feelings? Really?
Yeah. Maybe he has a little more gravitas to the situation. Maybe the message.
Well, I think gravitas was called for 2 months ago.
I think they just called him up today to replace Lopez.
Yeah, you know what? I mean, you know, maybe gravitas in the starting rotation or in the bullpen would do us just fine.
Well, yeah,
Never have enough gravitas.
No, not at all. 312-332-3776. I've got a few minutes to take any phone calls. You want to, call us and talk maybe, Bears or White Sox, Cubs. Well, trade deadline thing is certainly going to be interesting.
You see our buddy Jim Lexa tweeted at us that Thomas Hollywood Henderson won the Texas Lotto not once, but twice?
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up.
Was he in Des Plaines yesterday or the other day?
I don't think he drove that far. I mean, you better be sure you're winning if you're going to be doing that.
He made a little bit of money in the league, but he was buying the tickets for the big jackpot. And Jim said he won one of the jackpots, was $28 million for Hollywood Henderson. So
Maybe I should start playing. Maybe I should just put a reminder in my phone to just play every week. When is Mega Millions? I don't even know. Is that every week, Jake? Do you know?
Oh, twice a week.
Twice a week.
Yeah.
Wednesday and Friday?
Powerball's Tuesday, Thursday, right? Or Tuesday, Saturday? I don't know.
So basically, to increase my shot, I should just go to the store every day.
Yes.
And the odds of picking your numbers versus a quick pick probably are negligible, right?
Right.
Do you ever play, when you have played, do you play numbers you pick?
No. I just, whatever.
Quick pick, right? It's just
whatever
like
the machine fire. Right. I don't do like birthdays and anniversaries. And
it's almost too much work you know that the return is probably nothing.
So now, but you see, if you go to the 7-Eleven every day and get the Slurpee and the ticket, you're going to put on a few lbs, right?
I'll stay away from the Slurpee.
Yeah,
been there, done that. Yeah. I'm all right.
When was the last time you had a Slurpee? I'm talking about 7-Eleven.
Could have been in the 90s.
Yeah.
It's a while. Jake looked at me like, what? I just had one yesterday.
I mean, it's been a couple years for me, too. But in the 90s, they taste different now.
I'll take your word for it. I don't know that. I'm with Mark. I think it's been decades since I've
And you bring up something, too. Everything tastes different. As a kid, I loved Frankenberry cereal.
Ooh.
So as an adult, I was a kid. An adult, I thought, I'm going to try it. No, not even close to what it tasted like before.
Yeah.
So everything changes. Everything changes, Jake, when you get old.
It's the taste buds growing.
Is that what it is? No, It's them screwing it up at the factory. No.
Maybe it's the gin and all the things that went through the taste buds in the ensuing years.
All the ways I've killed my taste buds. Maybe, possibly. All right, it's Hanley and Xander. We've got Cueto on the mound today. We're getting out of here. We've got Peg and Dion up next. They're here till 1. Bears rookie wide receiver Velus Jones Jr. joins them at 12 noon here on ESPN 1000. So we've got a night game on a Saturday at guaranteed rate. And again, Cueto's on the mound. That gives us a good chance. We actually have to have the offense show up for us. We're playing the A's. Should be a winnable game. But then again, see last night. And we'll talk to you tomorrow, Brian. This is ESPN 1000.